Amen. And after I went to church, must have been 6 or 8 months, Ruby McKinnon said, would you come and strum your guitar? We're starting up a coffee house. And it was 1 week old, I think. So I went there, and Joe was there, and we strummed our guitar, and we sang some songs. 20 years of Saturday nights. I thought it was one night. There goes my beloved hockey night in Canada. You know, God puts his finger on our hearts, and he's got something better for us. And I fell in love with doing the coffee house. It was so much fun. And going through all the motions of what God was doing. Amen. But when Jesus put his finger on this thing that would be in competition with his walk with the Lord in this rich young ruler's heart, it disturbed the apostles. And in verse 23 and 24, it says, then Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered and said again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. And so there's that word trust. He sticks the word trust in there. How hard it is for people who trust in riches. How hard it is for people to trust in Mohammed to get into heaven. It's impossible. How hard it is for those who trust in the chubby Oriental guy they worship. Buddha, that's it. And it's not possible to get into heaven. And so the disciples were upset. Who can go to heaven then? And Jesus said, those who trust in riches aren't going to be there. Jesus is outspoken. Don't be upset because I'm reading his words. And get mad at Jesus. Come on, Lord. I hear about this gospel in other churches, and it's sugar and spice and everything nice. That's because they leave these stories out. but God works in us, and he doesn't take stuff from you. I want you to know this right now. He wants to give you something. But something has to be removed before he puts something in there. There's a hindrance. There's a blockage. And God wants to bring us all into an abundant life. But we can only get there by following the Holy Spirit. And so in our walk with the Lord, he often asks us to lay things down or to pick things up. And sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's more difficult. And for this rich young ruler, he wandered away. He went his way. He was sad. And I got to tell you, I've said this several times. When you're offended by something, by the word of God, by preaching of the word of God, it has the power to turn your feet away from the will of God and cause you to walk in a different direction. You have to watch out for offense. You have to take every offense to the Lord and lay it at his feet. And I think if this rich young ruler would have hung around a little while, he would have found out what Jesus told the disciples later on, is that all things are possible with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Rich young ruler wandered away. He was offended. And I want to tell you, how many people in the world are offended by the name of Jesus? How many people in this world are offended by the word of God? Amen. You know, there's a parable in the Bible. It's called the parable of the sower. And the sower would sow the word of God. And it tells about four different categories. And what the word of God did is it revealed the type of soil where the seed landed, or where the word of God landed. It revealed what type of soil it was. And there was seed by the wayside, feet, the word of God that fell on a stony heart, the word of God that fell on a thorny heart, and the word of God that fell on good ground. And it got a reaction everywhere it landed. The word that fell on good ground yielded fruit. But you see, the attitude of people towards the word of God determines the blessing they get out of that word. And here's four categories. The ones fell on stony ground, didn't work out so good. They fell away after a bit. Thorny ground, the same. And so God comes along, and he wants to start pulling the stones out of your heart. It doesn't feel like a stone. It's all the money I got, Lord. Amen. I'm sure the rich young ruler would have been upset. I'm glad the Lord didn't say that to me. I want all your money. God's not after your money. He wants your heart. Hallelujah. And so we see that in verse 27, it tells us that God says, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen. Who doesn't want to go to heaven when they leave this world? Who doesn't want to be with Jesus? And you know, but the attitude of these people were a hindrance. And in the parable of the sower, and you know, having a wrong attitude towards something's like having a flat tire on your car. You're not going anywhere till you fix the flat tire. And when you got a wrong attitude towards God, you're not going anywhere till you fix that attitude. Hallelujah. And when God wants something, he puts his finger on it. I'm telling you from experience. See all the fingerprints? But I can tell you, nothing's harmed me. Everything's been good. And I found out even the things I kicked and screamed about, God had something better for me than what I was hanging on to. Hallelujah. And so he comes to us, and he may put his finger on something in your heart and ask you to lay something down or pick something up. And I want to break into a story in Genesis, the Old Covenant, and chapter 42. I just want to read the first four verses for you. When Jacob saw there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Indeed, I have heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us that we may live and not die." Verses 3 and 4. So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt, but Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brother, for he said, lest some calamity befalls him. Benjamin was his youngest son, and something had already happened to Joseph, and so he didn't want to send his son down, but he sent 10 of them down, and only 9 came back. And the reason only 9 came back is because Simeon was withheld and put in prison there, but because the 10 brothers that went down there, they didn't recognize that Joseph was the man in charge of giving out the wheat, their brother that they had sold into slavery. And so Joseph said, "You guys are spies." He wanted to hold something to bring them back to that place. So he held Simeon, and he said, "And if you're not spies, this younger brother, Benjamin, that you're telling me about, bring him back next time, and then I'll know you're not spies." And this didn't fly too good with their father. This famine was severe. And it was part of Jacob's journey. It was the very vehicle that was going to carry Jacob and his family to their appointed place. You know, we've read the whole story. We know this. But this famine just looked like a whole lot of trouble. It just looked like something I have to face. I'm going through another trial. And, you know, I noticed that Sunil's getting more and more gray hair. I have to dye mine to get it gray like this. But really, I'm just joking around, because at this time, Jacob had many gray hair. And he had children. He was older. And his children had children. He was a grandpa. And he had passed through many sorrows and troubles. He had passed through different trials. And you know, all these experiences, he was gaining wisdom. And wisdom was growing within him. And now here he was. And his sons had come back from Egypt. And he sent 10, and only 9 came back. We get Jacob's reaction, and when they returned home from verse 36, and says, Jacob, their father, said to them, "You have bereaved me. Joseph is no more, Simeon is no more, and you want to take Benjamin? All these things are against me. Wow. What a trial he was having. He had lost his wife, Rachel. She had passed on. Hallelujah. The love of his life. He lost his boy that he loved more than the others, Joseph. And now they're asking for Benjamin. And Simeon was gone. And we can see that Jacob was in a trial. Have you ever been in a trial this severe? And some of you have. And even worse, maybe. But listen, God has an answer for you, whether it's in this life or in the next one. And you're going to have joy again. You're going to have peace. You're going to be amazed at the things in your life that seem to be so twisted and so painful and so out of sorts, that God can take them and turn them around. Hallelujah. If you've got faith to believe God.